This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. There are two particular groups I'd say are among the hardest working people I've ever met, farmers and the men and women in our military. Both groups want to serve others and keep our country strong. If it wasn't for farmers, most others wouldn't have the freedom to choose their occupations because everyone would be busy producing their own food. And, of course, if it wasn't for veterans, none of us would be free to live the lives we want. With farmers and veterans having so much in common, going into farming and ranching seems like a perfect fit for our veterans when they return home and look for job or business opportunities. As Veterans Day approaches, Farm Bureau thanks all Americans who have served selflessly in our armed forces, and we take particular pride in one of our newest endeavors, the Farm Bureau Patriot Project. The program matches military veterans with established farmers who can mentor them in getting started in agriculture. Currently, the Patriot Project is a pilot program running in two states, Arkansas and Texas. Next spring, Farm Bureau will launch the program nationwide. We've had a lot of inquiries from other states, and those inquiries have come largely from veterans who want to start developing food and ag-related businesses. Veterans are definitely interested, and America needs them. Veterans want to continue to service their continue their service to our country by feeding America, nourishing the land, and strengthening their communities. I'm proud of the role that Farm Bureau is playing to help them succeed. The Senate on Tuesday failed to achieve the necessary 60 votes for cloture on S 1140, the Federal Water Quality Protection Act, which would have required the Environmental Protection Agency and Army Corps of Engineers to withdraw the final waters of the U.S. rule and repropose a new regulation. In a statement, AFBF President Bob Stallman said that while the effort to send the flawed waters of the U.S. rule back to the drawing board fell a few votes short, we applaud members of the U.S. Senate who stood up for farmers and ranchers. Stallman expressed disappointment in the vote, but noted, "We know this issue will remain a critical one for America's farmers and ranchers, and we will continue our fight to protect them from federal regulatory overreach." The Environmental Protection Agency's final renewable fuel standard volumes for 2014 through 2016 were sent to the Office of Management and Budget on October 30th. EPA proposed requiring refiners to blend 14 billion gallons of corn ethanol for 2016, short of the 15 billion gallons called for under the RFS. EPA is also slashing the overall renewable fuel blending requirements below what Congress prescribed under the RFS. EPA is proposing blending mandates for renewable fuels overall at 15.93 billion gallons in 2014, using actual consumption numbers that year, 16.3 billion gallons in 2015, and 17.4 billion gallons in 2016. The overall figure will include 2.68 billion gallons for advanced fuels in 2014, 2.9 billion gallons in 2015, and 3.4 billion gallons in 2016. The advanced number is the combination of biomass-based diesel and cellulosic biofuels. The proposed rule was published in the Federal Register on June 10th, EPA intends to finalize it by November 30th. Farmers should never lose sight of the fact that our data has value, Missouri Farm Bureau President Blake Hurst said in Thursday's Newsline, which highlighted some concerns brought to light at a recent hearing on big data held by the House Agriculture Committee. Hurst said, "You just listen to the news and see what's happened to major companies that you would think are on the cutting edge of data privacy, and yet their data is being stolen, so it's a real concern." Privacy remains the top worry for farmers in relation to the massive data streams coming from their farm machinery in the field. Noma, one of the world's best restaurants known for its new Nordic cuisine, will close at the end of next year and reopen on a different site in Copenhagen as an urban farm. Chef Rene Redzepi says he wants to grow all the produce on his menu. He's nervous about the decision, and who wouldn't be? Running a first-class restaurant is risky enough. Running a farm is even riskier. One would think that with all the advancements in agriculture over the last half century, surely the risky business of farming has become more predictable and stable. Farming is less intuitive and more data-driven, but that hasn't eliminated the uncertainty of it. The World Health Organization is backtracking somewhat on a report issued last week that linked the consumption of processed meat to cancer. According to WHO officials, the report does not call for people to stop eating meat altogether. The report analyzed 800 studies from around the world and concluded that processed meats such as bacon, sausages, ham, and hot dogs cause bowel cancer, and red meat probably does too. The WHO is now stressing a review of the studies by its International Agency for Research on Cancer simply confirmed the United Nations Health Agency's 2002 diet and nutrition recommendations, which urge people to moderate consumption of preserved meat to reduce the risk of cancer. Last year, grain handlers like Roger Kruger had no kind words for Warren Buffett's BNSF Railway Company. After record U.S. harvests, crops piled up all across the Midwest, with fuel rail cars available to get them to buyers because they were being used to ship more oil and coal. It's different now. While farmers are harvesting almost as much this year, the log jams are long gone, said Kruger, a vice president at the South Dakota Wheat Growers Association, a cooperative with 20 logging depots served by BNSF that are used to market all sorts of crops, including corn and soybeans. U.S. rail shipments of grain are the highest in 5 years, and costs are down from 2014, when delays could last more than 2 months and compounded the slumping value of crops that had nowhere to go. The start of 2015 brought with it the expiration of many temporary tax provisions important to farmers and ranchers. Prompt congressional action is needed to reinstate and make permanent these policies, which improve the economic viability and stability of food, fiber, and fuel production. Section 179 small business expensing and bonus depreciation are two important tax provisions that need to be reinstated immediately. Farmers and ranchers are urged to take action now by contacting their members of Congress to let them know these tax tools are helpful when making business purchases while also coping with uncontrollable weather and unpredictable markets that affect farm profitability. Tax provisions that accelerate expensing also help farmers and ranchers better manage cash flow, minimize tax liabilities, and reduce borrowing needs. Senators Mark Warner of Virginia, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Barb Mikulski of Maryland, and Bill Cassidy of Louisiana recently introduced a bill that makes significant changes to the H-2B non-agricultural visa program. The bill would allow employers to use private wage surveys to determine payment to H-2B visa workers and would give exclusive authority to the Department of Homeland Security to issue rules and final determinations with respect to the visa program for H-2B non-immigrants. In addition, the bill would create an exemption for returning H-2B workers so they would no longer count toward the 66,000 cap under specific circumstances. The bill is supported by the H-2B Workforce Coalition. AFBF is reviewing the legislation to determine whether it substantively aligns with current policy. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.